Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Get it back live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it back live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig.
Here's the story, and joining us is Mike from Minnesota. Mike, how you doing?
Great, Frank. How you feeling, man? You all right?
Yeah, I just got back from Guelph. You wouldn't believe it if I told you the hassle. We chartered a bus.
Okay.
And so this is to go to the Argo game. The game was a 4:30 game. My wife dropped me off at one of those on the highway, parking lots where people who drive into work together park one car and then they all go in the other car type thing, you know?
Yeah.
So we got there about a half hour out of Guelph. So we got there and the bus came and the bus was about 15 minutes late. So we left at 2:00 and I just got home right now, like 2 minutes ago. And I delayed the show twice. I delayed it to 10:30 and then I delayed it till 11:00 using my phone. So I wouldn't, the show wouldn't go caca. Right. So basically, yeah, it's been a day from hell. And, how am I? Disappointed in the Argonauts to be for sure. That's a given. As overwhelming as Saskatchewan was earlier in the year, and as overwhelming as the Argos appeared to be recently, it goes to show everything that we've talked about isn't just hot air. I mean, fortunes for teams can change on a dime, and they have for the Argos. And I think, and this is just a knee-jerk reaction, so if anybody who's listening to this, they can argue the point with me until the cows come home, because this is just something that, as I was in the car after filling up with gas on the way home, I was thinking about what I was going to talk about tonight. And I guess what I'm going to say is it's possible, only possible, that the Argos lack the veteran experience that some of the players that they released or allowed to go, whether it be for bigger money elsewhere, whether it be because they felt they didn't fit into the group any longer, retirement and all that stuff. I'm beginning to think there's a void in, that veteran leadership with the Argos. And it might be just starting to show. And in that victory that Hamilton had against Toronto, some of the veteran leadership that the Argos had, burned them, that now plays for Hamilton. I don't have to name names. I think everybody who follows the Argos and the Ticats and the CFL in general knows who I'm talking about. And knows that these were good players that, just didn't fit in any longer. I haven't done it yet, and that's the next thing I'm going to do, is I'm going to look at the lineup today and then look at the lineup a year ago. And I suspect, only because I haven't had a chance to do it, because, like I said, I just had this thought like 5 minutes before we went to air. So that's my opinion. What do you think, Mike?
No, I think you're spot on with that. I felt like defensively – it seemed like the team was turning around. I think we probably both would agree the last couple, especially that four-game road trip, it looked like the defense was finally, you know, buying in and living up to expectations. But it really showed these two games against Hamilton that they just defensively, I don't know. And I think you're right. I think Jordan Younger, not having a guy like that in the secondary hurts. I think Ricky Foley, I think we can both agree the defensive end position is still, it's like a no-show. And even an Ejiro Kwale, just having that athleticism and speed up there would help. But I don't know, man. It's frustrating, really.
Well, you know what? It's frustrating. It's frustrating as an Argo fan, but as a football fan and a fan of the game primarily, it doesn't bother me that much because it gives me, as a fan, it gives me something to think about, you know? Yeah. Are the Argos now gone? Are they no longer a shoe-in in the East? Absolutely. Is that a big problem to me? Nope. It just means that winning's going to be a lot sweeter. So, you know, at the end of the day, sports are all about having fun and enjoying the experience. And, you know, for you to enjoy the experience, like in life, if it's too easy to get, it isn't that much to appreciate. You know what I'm saying?
True.
You know, so yeah, am I upset? Absolutely. Will I lose sleep over it tonight? Nah, I don't think so. I concerned? For sure. For sure I am. I mean, I yelled my loudest as much as I could to support my team and my players. I believe they're worth supporting. Let's face it. I mean, we can all be, at some point, Winnipeg, and then look what Winnipeg does.
Yeah, wow.
Right? I mean, it is
exactly
what it is, right?
True,
it is
true.
What it is. Was the game a good game on television? Did you watch it?
No, actually, I was just trying. I just drove back from Winnipeg myself. I literally got back in town like 30 minutes ago.
All right, so we're both sort of road weary.
Yeah,
I hear you. Well, you know what? I only heard about the victory by Winnipeg, but it definitely says that Montreal's vaunted defense did not accomplish what we think they could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
in
was
that
it
game, it was a case of just like, you know, the running game. Will Ford really broke out at a couple of big plays. And Max Hall, to his credit, the guy played fantastic. You know, it was raining and the conditions were horrible. But, you know, Montreal, I don't know what happened. I mean, defensively, they just look a step slow and I just don't think they were up for the game, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, the weather was terrible. And it looked like they didn't want to be out there, you know.
Would you agree? And I spoke to Chris Jones about this with the Argos. And I am name dropping. I spoke to him about conditions, field conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be of the mind that it doesn't matter, defense or offense, bad weather washes either out. Now, he knows a lot more about football than I do. But I kind of disagree with him because I happen to think it's easier to lose somebody in less than ideal conditions because it's all about reaction, in my opinion, as far as defense is concerned. Because, you know, the guy that's going to make the move is going to make a move, and he might not make the exact move he wants, but the guy following him, it's got to be harder for him.
Right. Unless, of course, you're Chad Owens and you can do that anytime like you did today. But, no, you're right. That's true.
Chad's not 100% as far as I'm concerned. He has to get in game shape.
He did look pretty good today, though. At least, you know, we saw flashes of the Chad Owens from last year.
Mm-hmm. He made a couple of tackles. You know, he made a couple of misses, which we expect from him, right?
Right.
Is the absence of Chad Kackert a problem, maybe? I mean, this is a team, again, I'm going to name drop. When I spoke to Milanovic, the coach, I asked him about all this in and out and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
What the heck? You know, like, how do you make this work? You know, maybe this weekend will be the first time you have two ideal receivers, you know. They've had Inman all along, and Chiles has been a guy that, from the beginning of this year, has really, really, you know, put his name out there as a key, long yardage. And the Argos today didn't have that threat. Yeah, Inman, the best throw of the day and the best catch of the day led to a fumble by Inman.
So Inman or Barnes? Which one?
Wasn't it Inman? Was it Barnes?
The one where he was basically in the middle of the field and it got stripped. Yeah, I think that was Barnes.
Was it Barnes? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm trying to say is that the best reception of the day ended up being a fumble. And that and the longest too, one of the longer receptions, right?
Right.
And they don't have a long game. And if you don't have a long game, look forward to the blitz and look forward to the flat being covered beautifully. And it was.
True.
Now, so Ray was...
Go ahead. I was going to ask you, how did you evaluate Ray?
How did I evaluate Ricky? Again, he's got to get into game shape. At this time of year, all the players are now starting to get a rhythm going. You know, they're getting at least the players that have played all year. The ones that get injured, they have to do a little catch up, right? Now, I happen to think that Ray will do fine. I think Ray will do fine. This year he has the burden of having a defense that isn't as strong as it used to be.
Last year they struggled. Remember, there was a stretch where defensively they were terrible.
Yeah, but that was at a point before we are now.
Actually, I think it was around the same time, because I remember last year, like around this time, there was that game like Winnipeg.
Left?
Yeah, when Winnipeg came to Toronto, and I remember Chad Simpson had like almost 200 yards rushing, and like remember there was that stretch where like
they lost 5 of 6 games.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of like, I know what you're talking about. Like when Ray came back from the injury, he played fantastic, but even then, the defense was kind of like so-so. Remember, it was more of a case of Ray, and the offense was just fantastic. That's why
winning. I get what you're saying, because I have glimmers of a memory of along the sidelines, a lot of passes that went for TDs or goal, first and 10. There was a lot of that, especially on our side of the field. It seemed, during our home games. And I got to be honest with you, it's a little, when you're not in the press box being fed information, it's really, because I did do that. I have sat in the press box and the media guys give you all this information, the specifics. And so it's like having an assistant, right? When you're watching a CFL game from the stands, it's not a highly technical, experience. It's pretty grassroots football. You got your cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You got your cheerleaders. You got your, you got your referees whom I feel today, it was probably the worst case of officiating that I've seen.
Yeah. Were those CIS refs? I mean, where'd they get those guys?
I don't know. They were going to give the ball to Hamilton. It was just the one of the last calls was the perfect description of the whole story, right?
Yeah.
The umpire says penalty to the Argos. I mean the Ticats. No, that's to the Ticats. It's like he got so used to calling penalties on the Argos.
Yeah.
Whether it's poor officiating or whatever, it really, that isn't the point. The point is you can't give a referee an opportunity to give you a penalty. There are times when, supposedly, and everybody says this in every sport, where the officiating, is bad for you today, but it'll all even out by the end of the year. I'm not that keen on believing that. I just happen to think that it's just like cards, right? You try to draw to an inside straight. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, and it seems sometimes that's all you do is draw to the inside straight. That's just, you get in a run of good stuff, good things happening. And the same thing's true for bad, right? The same thing's true for bad, and they ran into some real, bad penalties, and over and over, and extending possessions, terminating their possessions. It was just, this is a team. I Wednesday, I have a bunch of interviews I did over the weekend with Milanovic and company, and I was concerned. Actually, you could probably go to Argonauts.ca and you'll hear the questions I asked them anyway, because they post them too. So basically, I asked them about the bad habits that the Argos are getting into, and I believe that they're getting into some bad habits, and the bad habits, as crazy as this sounds, some of the worst habits that develop on a team in any sport are the ones that happen when you're winning when you shouldn't win.
True. Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, and I really truly believe that they've won when they shouldn't have. And having said that, those victories have not been, you know, those victories have not been ones that are the ones that you work your way into getting, you know, championship ready. Unfortunately, there have been victories where they've been fortunate with the bounce of the ball, you know, some great second halves. You know, it's not too often that a team is that inconsistent and comes away with four victories.
True.
In my opinion. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Go ahead. I didn't say anything.
Well, I'm starting to forget that you're actually there. I'm starting to think I'm talking to myself, buddy. Come on. You got to make a contribution. Hey, so Saskatchewan straightened out their ship. And that's pretty much the parallel issue there is their running back is back. And is it possible that you really do need to have a good running game to win in the CFL?
It's starting to show. And especially with C.J. Gable, the thing I think some people may not know about the guy, but he was a top-notch recruit coming out of high school, and you know, like he started at USC as a freshman, but the guy was pretty much on track to be probably a first-round draft pick in the NFL had it not been for some off-the-field issues and some of the injuries that he suffered in college. So, I mean, Hamilton has a legitimate, you know, top-caliber elite running back, and it really showed. I mean, the guy, he can do everything, run the ball, catch it out the backfield, make plays in the open field, and he really helped pretty much run the clock out at the end, and that was the difference, I think. I mean, had it been Chevy Walker like they had, I think the Argos would have had to stop and would have got the ball back and might have had one more shot at getting an end zone.
Yeah. No, that's 100% accurate. I was, and continue to be surprised and amazed by that athlete. Now, he's not making a lot of those circus runs that he made before, but he's still running. Like, he has that giddy up boy. Once he gets his giddy up on, you can't catch him. And he proved it there. He was way ahead of the defenders. The defenders were like, holy crap, there he goes. It was like they were waving at him. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, deceptive speed. Like, he looked like a power back, but then it's like the minute you underestimate his speed, he'll just take that step and he's gone. And that's exactly what you want in an NFL running back. That's why when I see him, I'm just like, wow. You could tell he's been trained to become like an NFL back. He's got all the instincts you need to be in the NFL. So, but Hamilton's got a real gem right there. And man, you got to give credit to Ken Austin. He's really done a great job of turning it around. Because you remember this time last year in Hamilton, I think they ended the year with like five. They were like lost five of their last six games. Remember?
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, we always knew that they were going to be, brought back in the right direction. This turnaround, depending on how real it is this the kind of turnaround that's going to be a duplication of what the Argos did in Hamilton, start with a really, so-so year and then all of a sudden put it together, finish 9-9 and win the Grey Cup? Is that going to be one of those years again? It's possible. It's quite possible, if that's what you're asking me.
The Argos are my second favorite team, and, you know, they're close to my heart. And honestly, Frank, like prior to these last two games, I was 100% confident that no one in the East was going to beat the Argos in the playoffs. But now I am so worried about the Ticats. I mean,
you do remember,
especially
somebody,
with the Argos playing. Yeah.
You do remember somebody mentioning that to you, don't you?
Yes, sir. I got to give it to you, Frank, because you called it in the beginning of the year, and I didn't see it. I was convinced the Ticats were going to stink again like they always do. But man, we got to change your name to Nostradamus, man. You,
I wasn't trying to pull a Don Cherry. I'm just laughing because quite frankly, and I'm sorry, it almost feels like I interrupted you. I apologize for that. I'm just amazed in the CFL at how quickly the fortunes of a team can turn. If you've got a CFL team in your city, my friends, you're lucky because you get to watch a league that keeps your interest week to week.
You know,
it's not like a soap opera, baby. You can't come back 2 months later and go, "Is that all that happened while I was gone?" I mean, you know, a lot happens in the CFL in a short period of time. And you know, think about this for a second. Before the Argos went on that four-game run, you remember how bad they were playing? And, in fact, you were so upset at how bad they were playing, you felt that everybody should burn the seats at the Rogers Center. You remember that back then?
Yes, sir, I do.
And then they turned it around in four games. And now look, they've turned it around again in the next two.
Absolutely, I know. It's such a roller coaster season. Man. And I was speaking to, like, another team that you were really high on all year, and to that whole point about how teams can turn it around in one season, you just look at Edmonton. Like, they're 3-12 now. I could see Edmonton next year in the Grey Cup, you know? It's just like you can see the talent. Yep. They got the quarterback, you know? And they were so close in all these games that they're probably the greatest 3-12 team in the history of the CFL, you know?
At least in recent memory, to be fair. Yeah. Definitely a recent memory.
Right. And like to your point, I mean, didn't Winnipeg in 2010, they were like 4-14. 2011, they went to the Grey Cup. And, the very next year, they went back into the toilet again. And it's like, you know.
What the heck
that's
happened?
Great, though. You're right. Yeah. It's for all the fans, it's fantastic. They don't have to worry about either being in the toilet forever or, sadly, being on top forever either, you know. But.
Well, no, you know what? You know what? It is a god-awful good feeling when you go to the stadium and you know your team has a chance.
Yeah.
And does it suck when you leave and they lost like today? Absolutely. It was unpleasant, to say the least. But you know what? When you won the Grey Cup last year, I think you can sit there and go, you know what? Go ahead, Tighthead fans. Tell us that the Argos suck. But don't forget. We won the Grey Cup last year, you know, so that memory is still fresh in my mind. So, you know, am I a Montreal Canadian fan type of Montreal Canadian fan, you know, where you win 5 years in a row and you go, well, that's to be expected and you become that jaded, right?
Yeah.
You know, or are you a Leaf type fan, you know, and I'm sorry to bring in hockey into this, but I'm trying to express a point here and, you know, where you wonder if your team will ever win anything. You know what I mean? That's not the case. In the Montreal football team and the Toronto hockey team, it's not the same in the CFL. In the CFL, you can really make advances based solely on the on your ability to find good players and maybe to have some leadership as far as GMs are concerned. Did I lose you? Well, I'll take a short break here. Well, I think I just lost the mic. What else is new? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name's Frank Stanisha. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. That was Mike from Minnesota, and we'll take a short break.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Phil Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
Okie dokie. Now, I don't know what happened to Mike, but let's see.
Hello?
Are you still there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I'm there. Sorry
about
that.
Was...
Yeah, I had another call on the other line. Just come in.
Oh, okay. I thought it was me going crazy. That's all right. No, it's okay. I needed to go cut for a break anyway. And so, you know, it's an interesting, you know, the CFL's fantastic. You know, you really, I mean, every single team this year, mm-hmm. and I guess for the shortest amount of time of all,
yeah.
Calgary didn't have a real great start to the year, but
yeah.
it was only for a short time at the beginning of the year. Every other team in the league has had its moments when they didn't look like they were in the running for anything. There isn't a team. I don't know a team. You know, obviously in the East, now that we've discussed the situation with the Argos, and we've mm-hmm. reminded people of the pratfalls they've been through this year, you know, how they haven't looked good at times. We know the East is, that's true. And, you know, Saskatchewan, a favorite for the Grey Cup. We mentioned Calgary. BC, would anyone anywhere suggest that BC had a great year from beginning to end? No. They've had their, you know, they've had their challenges. And yep. we talked about Edmonton. So, you know, when you think about that, and you ask yourself, you know, the opposite of great is not so good. But if your teams are, and in the CFL, it is such a competitive league. I don't know of another league that even compares competitively in the manner in which, the CFL works out and pans out. Take, for example, the New England Patriots. Now, everybody's talking about how they've, you know, they're hitting, you know, on tough times. They're what, 4-1?
No, they're 5-1 now.
5-1 now. Yeah, they won yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. 5-1. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
They don't look that great winning, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, look at the teams that year after year after year, the Bills, you know, to talk about a team that's close to home,
yep.
literally, you know, they haven't been very good for a long time. For a long time. Exactly. you know, so... You know, they did the 4-in-a-row thing, but not quite
right.
what the Argos did. You know, wide right, thank you very much. you know, it's just the way it is, right? I mean,
right.
The game is, it's a great game. I know you promote it, you know, in the U.S. and in your local community, Minnesota. And I know how much you love the game. But, you know, there's nothing that's proven it more than following this season. The interest that this league, if you're paying attention, that it can muster is amazing.
Yeah.
It truly is amazing.
And you know, to your point earlier when you brought up about, you know, the Canadians in Toronto, after we had the discussion about hockey, I wanted to really get like absorb hockey and just get an idea of what's so fascinating about it. And there's this guy on YouTube, I forgot his YouTube page, but he took all the playoff games last year and made like 10-minute pretty much highlight packages of them.
Yeah.
So I watched the whole Bruins-Leafs series, Canadians versus the Sens, and I just wanted to get a, you know, grasp. And now I finally understand why Argo fans are the way they are at the Rogers Centre, because they behave the same way people do at a hockey game, which is, if you notice in hockey, basically people only get loud when there's a goal. Other than that, the majority of the game, people are pretty much sitting on their hands just watching what's going on. You know, it's not like soccer where they're constantly chanting and, you know what I'm talking about? Like, hockey is not a game where you need to have, like, a big defense chant like you would in basketball or football. So it's sort of sit back, watch everything happen, and then when a big play like a goal happens, then everyone gets loud. So it would explain why Argo fans kind of, that's pretty much how they are. They don't cheer. They don't get loud technically unless there's a touchdown or a big play. Right?
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth in that, but I have to tell you, where they play and the amount of people that show up really does skew the reality of what you're saying. It isn't as accurate in a statement as I'd like to say it is, but it isn't. It really does have to do with the atmosphere. John talks about it all the time. An atmosphere has a lot to do with the relationship between the proximity of the players, the game, to the fans, and the players. Make no mistake, you know, I talk to them all the time about this. In fact, one of the subjects I brought up with a couple of the Argos is the fact that maybe they're better on the road because it's more exciting. There seems to be more of an intensity on the road,
yeah.
You know, especially when you're going on the road in the West.
Right. Even, because even Leaf fans aren't that loud. Like, when I compare the playoff games at Montreal to Toronto.
I got to stop you there, buddy. I got to stop you there. Take it from a guy who's lived here all his life.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune of watching the Leafs win a couple of Stanley Cups.
Okay.
But that's because of how old I am. I mean, not because it was recent. And you're talking about decades and decades and decades of a lack of, reason to cheer. Now, what happened last year, if you were watching, like you said, I don't know if they – see, the thing about the highlight package, they didn't show the fans that were outside cheering for the Leafs in the Bruins series.
That was amazing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
And that is the younger crowd who don't get to go to the games because it's just too expensive. I will and will continue to maintain that the American owners and the National Hockey League are unethical. And the reason they're unethical is because they're required, and this sounds silly, but it's, in my opinion, they had a constitution that allowed for teams to be brought in that could show they had the fan following, that they showed they had the state-of-the-art facility and a decent owner. The city of Hamilton provided the money for an arena, which was state of the art when it was built. Tim Hortons were going to be the owner, and they sold out their tickets very quickly. But they didn't get a team. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, if the only people who can go are the top 10% economically speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not getting a real fan. And no offense to the people that show up at a frickin' hockey game, but I find it totally disgusting and despicable when a period starts and the most expensive seats are all empty. I find that despicable. You want to talk about, sitting on your hands? Well, It would be a lot better if they could sit on their hands inside the stadium, you know, in view of the live action. So I'm sorry, Mike, but I can't let you say stuff like that because it's not fair to people here in Toronto. Because the real fans don't get to go to the game. A, B, the beauty of the Raptors. Okay, the beauty of our basketball team is partly that it's affordable. And mostly that the fans of basketball are of a different they're of a different background. Okay, I'm not just talking ethnically, I'm talking financially as well.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm talking both, you know.
Right.
And they're not stuffy people, and if you go to a Raptors basketball game, the enthusiasm and the excitement is palpable. You can taste it. The excitement that's in the stadium, whereas in the Argo games, mind you, if you're sitting with us, it's a bit noisy, even today, but I get your point. The fans that you are aware of, the ones that you hear about, and the ones that you get to sample when it comes to hockey, aren't really hockey fans. They're people who are getting free tickets, because I defy anyone anyone to have this debate with me and to lose, as far as I'm concerned. You can't win this argument. If you're a real hockey fan, how the hell do you stay in the catacombs of the arena when the live action is just a few steps away?
Yeah, true. You know, they have the same thing going on in America. Like, the Dallas Cowboys and the Lakers have the same problem. Or like,
do they?
You know, the real, yeah, they're like Cowboy Stadium and Staples Center are both really quiet stadiums because of the same problem. Like you said, their tickets are so expensive and there's such a demand that only the real wealthy can buy those seats. And like you said, they're not the loudest or most enthusiastic people. And because of that, it hurts the actual atmosphere and environment at the arena, even though, you know. So I get what you're saying exactly. That's the same. Yeah, they have the same issues down here, too, for some teams.
You know, the Leaf fans can kick it up a notch. They can kick it up a notch. You know, and they will this year. It will be proven this year that Leaf fans are actually, you know, pretty good. Because even those, like, you know, let me put it this way to you. When Hockey Night in Canada shoots the bench, there's two mm-hmm. guys that are behind the Leaf bench that have been there for 50 years. I've watched them get old behind the Leaf bench.
Wow.
And you know, that's because that's what it is. You know, if you're there every game for 50 years,
yeah.
It's got to dull the show. It's got to dull the excitement a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like you take, if we fill the stadium with people that don't normally go to the games, the excitement mm-hmm. level is going to be a little higher. It's just natural.
True.
And that's the problem. I mean, most of the seats are season tickets. The same people go. And some of the people who go are going, you know, because a company had a couple of tickets, you know, that
right.
sprung
yeah.
loose. So you might get a couple of real fans that way. But they're there only as an afterthought. After
yeah.
somebody who could have gone, or that could afford it, couldn't go.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, it's ludicrous to me that there isn't a second team here in the city, and we're moving away from our football topic, but it's ludicrous that there isn't a second team here. If there was, both stadiums would rock a lot better because there would be more people that are going who paid for the tickets.
Right. And speaking of hockey, too, before we get off the subject, I have officially a favorite NHL team after kind of getting into hockey, and I think you know who it is.
Boston?
It's the Montreal Canadiens. I'm totally a Canadian fan. And part of that has to be because, obviously, you know, P.K. Subban and having a brother in there representing. So, but their fans are great.
You got two on the Leafs. You got two of them on the Leafs.
Yeah, but Subban is an elite-level player, though. He's a guy that, you know, he's top-notch. And their fan base is great. Like, watching playoff games at Montreal were so much fun. I mean, the crowd was super into it. Even Ottawa. Ottawa was fantastic. That series was great. I really enjoyed watching that. You know, the Leafs, like you said, I mean, they got a much bigger fan base, and like you said, but sadly, because of their ticket prices, it, you know, the real fans that would really get behind the team can't get in, and then we have all these yuppies in there, basically, you know.
I'll bring you up to speed with on that subject with the Montreal Canadiens. The Montreal Canadiens fans are with their team winner tie.
Winner tie, nice, nice.
That's they back them up win or tie. Now you can't say that anymore because now it's win or overtime loss. But
okay.
You know, they basically Montreal fans, they do what Toronto fans for years I wish had done. When the team sucks, people don't go. And
yeah.
and the Montreal Canadiens feel it financially. Not just mm-hmm. talking, you know,
right.
they feel it financially.
Yeah.
If you don't perform, Montreal fans won't back you up. Toronto
right.
fans, on the other hand, you know, they almost seem to be more interested the less the Leafs do.
Yeah, it's true.
And you know, we had that disease. Now we can do the transition. This is a good segue.
Yeah.
The Argos were like that for years. They went 30 years without winning a Grey Cup, and they
mm-hmm.
were selling out. They were 30,000-40,000 people going to the games, and the Argos were, you know, the lovable losers. They were the Chicago Cubs of football in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. And, But, you know, speaking of Rogers Center, and this is something that I was actually wanted to talk to you guys last week. I just didn't get a chance to call in. But I listened to the Ticats Nation show that's from their radio station out there. And after last Monday's or last week's game at Rogers Center, a bunch of Ticat fans called in talking about that the security at Rogers Center threw them out of the stadium for being too loud. And from some of the accounts people were giving, they were basically saying that whenever the Ticats were on defense, they were trying to get loud, obviously, to support their team, and that Argo fans around them were complaining, and then security told them they had to leave because they were being too loud during the game. And to me, I was just like, isn't that what you're supposed to be doing at a football game? So I was just amazed to hear that, and it wasn't a few, it was like a lot. Like, there were whole sections of Ticat fans forced to leave the game. And I don't know if you or John were aware of that or
okay.
This happened before.
I watched a debate between the police and a couple of handful of Ticat fans, and you will be kicked out if you I heard, but I'll say this. I don't want to tell you what I think I heard, because that's not fair. But suffice it to say that the behavior of the Ticat fans was rude and unacceptable.
Okay.
You know,
for example,
not loud. Loudness wasn't the issue. It's not
okay.
How loud they were. It was what they were saying, not how they were saying.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll leave it there. You know, like. Basically, and Ticat fans can con whoever they want, but they can't con me. I know who they are. They know who they are. They hate the Argonauts with a passion. And foul language and saying things. Like, I got a guy that I love, that I'm having fun with here on Facebook. And the reason I have fun with him is because he took a picture of himself peeing on a truck that was... our government stamp, they were putting the Argos on it, Pinball Clemens, and some charities, right, on this truck. And he was peeing on it. So I took that picture, and I went on my Microsoft Paint, and I cut out the truck, or I should say I cut him out from in front of the truck, and then I found a Ticat logo, and I have him peeing on the Ticat logo, and I posted it on the same one.
Oh, nice.
So... No, and I did it for fun, but, you know, also to make a point. Buddy, there's some lines you shouldn't cross. And so that kind of behavior, in my opinion, is not acceptable in a family environment, okay?
Yeah,
And if they're using language that is unacceptable, right?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
It's unacceptable. That's all there is to it. And, you know, you cannot use foul language. You know, it's one thing to say, go, Ticats, go. You know, it's another thing to keep screaming and yelling, you know, using expletive deleted,
as
a way, you know. And then somebody says, look, I'm going to ask you to stop doing that. And if you keep doing that, we're going to have to kick you out of the stadium.
Okay.
And if that's the case, you can't complain about getting kicked out. You know,
right.
We understand, though, you know, as an Argo lifer, last year we ran afoul of the security. You know, it happens, you know, that security might become overzealous.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can assure you of is, you know, the Ticats aren't the only ones who've had problems at the Rogers Center. We had problems last year at the Rogers Center. We had fans, from what I understand, Saskatchewan fans complaining about us because we were too loud and we were standing up and we're, you know, and I can assure you we weren't swearing. We were just, you know, supporting our team and we were threatened to be kicked out if we stood up again. So I understand the complaints of the Ticat fans, but I also understand, you know, when you're being accused of something that has at least some truth to it. And if you won't cop to it, if you don't cop to it, it just makes security or the people in charge that more sure that you should leave.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so that's my opinion. Listen, like I said, I didn't hear exactly what was being said, but it sounded to me like there was some behavior that went beyond just cheering and just being loud.
Right. Yeah, I figured that. I that's what I thought. It had to be more than just that, I figured. But,
and there's just an exaggeration about how many were kicked out.
Okay. But,
and,
you know,
and,
if you
and
thought
also,
they were bad before, though, I mean, could you imagine East Final and the way things are looking, if the Ticats were to go in there and, you know, take that? Oh, you talk about hurling expletives. They're just, it's going to be raining down from all sides.
Yeah, but
that
doesn't matter. And that's great. And that's fantastic. If that happens and they have the opportunity. But they have to understand, that you know, you're in public. You know,
yeah.
You don't urinate on trucks. You don't urinate on trucks. And yes, no doubt he was faking. But at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily stand to, you can't say he wasn't doing it either. You know, just like you can't say he was actually peeing on the truck, you can't say he wasn't either, can you?
No.
So
no.
The point I'm trying to make is, how does that look to you know, an 8-year-old, you know, to a parent with an 8-year-old? Or with
right.
a 12-year-old. What
and
is that?
You know,
what is, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, no, the thing that when the Ticat fan was talking about that on the show was sort of like, you know, at Ivor Wynn, apparently they were used to that type of, you know, that type of behavior. And, yeah, I mean, you've probably been to Ivor Wynn a couple of times, so you probably know this yourself. And so they basically felt like they were conducting themselves the way they would have at Ivor Wynn. And They felt like the people at Rogers were, quote unquote, being uppity and acting like they were too good or above the game to really get involved like they should as a real football fan. This is from the Ticat fans' perspective, but I don't know if you feel like that.
Okay, here again, I'll try and make the statement I made earlier a lot clearer. The Argos had nothing to do with kicking them out. It was strictly a Rogers Center security group that called the police in to get involved. Wasn't the Argos have nothing to do with security? The Argos have nothing. Here, let me take it a step further, something we've learned as recently as a few weeks ago. They don't even have control over their own merchandise that's being sold all around the stadium. All right.
Wow.
That's part of the deal. And the deal is, you know, great, you're a tenant, and don't wait in the hallway, keep walking. You know what I mean? Just imagine that. That's what we're talking about here. It's not your home.
Wow.
It's not your home. So that is what I'm going to say. The Hamilton fans can say that at the Rogers Center, they were mistreated by the Rogers Center staff, which isn't in any way paid for by the Argos.
Okay.
So
well,
at the end, I'm just trying to make that clear. You know, and did the Argo fans complain? I won't dispute that for a second. They probably did. I don't know that they're just like that guy faking peeing on the truck. You know, I don't know for sure. So, you know, I didn't go around to check. You know, I didn't do a wetness test. You know what I mean? So, so you know, I can't say for sure. But what I can say for sure is that at the Rogers Center, and this is gonna help you to understand even further, they treat the baseball fans just the same way.
There have been times
when the fans have complained. They have the quiet areas, no drinking areas for baseball. You know, they have an opinion of how they want their stadium to operate. Their intention on how to, you know, fabricate or accommodate, you know, the atmosphere that they want accommodated. And they have every right to do that. It's their business.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, whatever happens at the Rogers Center is not in the control of the Toronto Argonauts.
Right. So I guess we should all be looking forward to them getting out and getting into
I'm not saying that those Ticat fans are misleading people. I'm just saying they're telling it from their side plus some assumptions that are incorrect. You cannot associate what happened to them with the Argonauts. Can you associate it with the Argo fans? Absolutely. You know, if an Argo fan complains to security, it's an Argo fan. I'm not here trying to deny that. But what I'm saying is that the people in control are the Rogers Center, not the Toronto Argonauts. And trust me when I say this. trust me when I say this, football is a whole different bowl of fish than baseball.
Yeah, it's true. And I guess to kind of switch the topic and get back on the Ticats, or I'm sorry, the Argos, looking at the schedule coming up, I know they've been on a slump here, but the schedule looks really favorable. I mean, they get, you know, back-to-back with Winnipeg, and then they close out with
really? After
home.
Winnipeg did what they did? I'd be afraid of Winnipeg at this point.
No, not for Toronto. I mean, for this goes back like 2 years where Winnipeg, for whatever reason, seems to always have Montreal's number. You know, they're always competitive.
Gotcha.
You know, and you notice that even when they're bad, they're always, even last season, they were terrible. But Winnipeg and Montreal, I don't know what it is.
Well, the first game of the year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, but when it comes to Toronto, though, Toronto's pretty much owned Winnipeg going back 2 years now. And I don't think
they better own
yeah.
them.
Because in the standings, they're up one game on Hamilton. So
They only have one game with Winnipeg, and then the others with Montreal.
No, it's two. It's two with Winnipeg.
Two?
They play at Winnipeg next Saturday, and then they're hosting Winnipeg the following Thursday. And then the last game of the year is the Friday night at home against Montreal.
Schedule.
Yeah, the Ticats play Montreal back-to-back, and then the Ticats close out at Winnipeg. So for the Argos,
Toronto closes out against Montreal. That's the game where Calvillo will be the quarterback against the Argos.
Right. But if the Argos take care of business and sweep Winnipeg like they should.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
back-to-back. Yeah. Yeah, they would have clinched the number one seed, and then that Friday game against Montreal, they pretty much can rest all their starters if they want to, you know, especially considering that, you know, if Hamilton were to lose a game to Montreal in that back-to-back series with them, that, you know, that's pretty much it. So I think the Argos will be okay. I think they're still going to be the number one team, and they look like they're going to get basically the last game of the year and that bye week to rest up whoever, whether it's Kackert or maybe if Ray wants more time to rest up. So
I think they've had too many key players who have rested too much as it is.
No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. So that should be 100%.
I understand the theory. I just don't think that, you know, you don't have the right fixins
right. Yeah.
For that scenario to play out. The last thing they need is more rest. They've got players like you're right. Owens played a great game, but not for Owens, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
you're right,
He didn't really break any today, anything. Like, listen, last year he went through almost, half or a third, two-thirds of the season where he didn't break a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown. Not that you have to, but it's nice when you do, right? Well, he finally did at the end of the year, right? And, you know, what the Argos didn't have today is they didn't have any plays that were magical.
Yeah.
There wasn't any magic there today. There wasn't that much magic. And it's amazing how much they accomplished with so little magic, really, to be honest with you. And they're not a magical team, that's the thing. But
and it's really not been that magical of a year, you know?
No, it hasn't.
Like, even I was listening to Rash Madani from Sportsnet on Rod Peterson's show on from Saskatchewan, and he went into detail talking about how this is, you know, this year compared to the last couple of years has been probably the least amount of buzz there's been for the CFL in quite some time. And the attendance even bears that out, where attendance across the league is down. Like, you look in Calgary, they've been the best team all year, and their last game against BC on a Friday night game had only like 26,000 people. And for Calgary, that's a really small crowd. And, you know, it seems like outside of Saskatchewan, no one's really selling out or no one's getting any big crowds. And, you know, I don't know what's going on, if it's maybe just a drop-off from all the attention last year, but across the board, it seems like there's just no buzz really for the league at all, honestly.
Well, Arash Madani doesn't know that much about the CFL. I've never seen him at a – I might have – have I ever seen him at an Argo practice? As, you know, He's a fine reporter. He gets all the plum, you know, the plum, you know, stories. He gets to do all the lovely stuff like that out of town and stuff. But I wouldn't agree with him. Other than to say, I'd love to look at those statistics that you're quoting, as far as attendance is concerned.
Yeah.
It would be nice to know what the attendance figures are at the end of this year. I think TSN would like to know what those are. You know, what are the television? You know, what are the views like? You know, how many people are watching?
Yeah, I can give you those numbers now. Like attendance wise, they over the year we've averaged 27,182 per game. And
for
that
who?
Is,
for the league?
Yeah, the whole league as a whole, and that's
and last
thousand,
year.
Yeah, that's 1,000 under where we were at this point last year. And, you know, you can obviously chalk that up to Hamilton being in Guelph as well. But when we look at specifically in the West where traditionally
that.
They've had strong attendance, it's even down there. Like, did you know that Edmonton had 30 years straight of having 30,000 plus? And
yeah.
Yeah, last year, the final game of last season was the first time they had had attendance below 30,000 after 30 years. And this season, they've only had, I think, two or three games above 30,000.
Well,
and,
can you not write that off to the lack of success the team's had?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that even prior to last year, I mean, Edmonton had been pretty bad basically from 2007 through 2000, up until 2011. They were pretty terrible, and even then they were still averaging 35,000 plus a game. And that's, you know, pretty remarkable. So, and this is considering that they just got done doing a major overhaul of Commonwealth Stadium. I don't know if you've seen it, but they put in all new seats. They fixed up the concourses. Like, Commonwealth is like a brand new stadium now. They put over, you know, close to like almost $100 million into it. So,
yes,
you know, and I don't know. I mean, the thing that's just really worrying me, like BC, they're struggling, and they just, you know, consistently seem to lack getting that buzz. And Calgary's the one that really worries me, because Calgary supposedly has supposed to have good fans, and their team has been tremendously successful. I mean, last year they went to the Grey Cup. This year they've pretty much been the best team all season. You know, they're like 12-3, and yet there's no, you know, no one's coming. Their attendance is at an all-time low now. For the last, they haven't had this attendance this bad in like 5 years. I don't know what's happening.
Well, you know, I don't know if I would. You know what? It could be the end of the world for all I know. For all I know, it could be the end of the world as far as the CFL is concerned. But I wouldn't rush to that judgment. I think you've got a couple of issues that, you know, as much as I can make the excuse of Hamilton, it is the first year with Winnipeg and their new stadium, which has had good numbers that would basically make what happened in Hamilton disappear by virtue of the ramped up excitement in Winnipeg because of the new stadium. So I'm not going to use that as an excuse, right?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You just brought up another problem. It's like, look what happened in Winnipeg, you know? I mean, they sold out the first game. They sold out the Banjo Bowl. And every other game since then has been a non-sellout. Like, that to me is just jaw-dropping. Like, in America, if any team opens a new stadium, regardless of how terrible they are, that stadium is sold out the entire first year just on the novelty of the stadium alone. For Winnipeg, that lasted one game. You know,
what's their average attendance?
They're actually, now they're at 29,000 in a stadium that can hold 33.
Now,
and
by CFL standards, 29,000 is a good number.
Yeah, but I mean, when you open a brand new state of the art, $200 million.
I hear what you're saying, Mike. But the team has been crap.
Right. And what's even more worrisome is that they're paying $4.5 million a year on that stadium. So they have to sell that thing out, or they're going to be losing money big time. You know.
Well,
so I'm just. As a whole, I'm just kind of worried about the league. And then Arash Madani talked about how sponsorship's down and how the CFL hasn't been able to replace the corporate sponsorship they had with Rona and with Scotiabank, and that, you know, it just seems like sponsors just aren't really lining up to do business with the CFL anymore. And it bears out in the commercials. Like, the commercials you're seeing, like Humpty's and all these weird, like, you know, like stuff that you would see on late night television, you know, and it's
well,
just, I'm just, as a, I'm really worried about the league.
Yeah, you know, listen, don't worry about the league, first of all. Worry about the fact that you've got people who have a vested interest in the CFL failing. All right? Rodgers has no need for the CFL. Rodgers wants nothing to do with the CFL. Who does Arash Madani work for?
Yeah, Sportsnet. Yeah, you're right.
Come on. I mean, you know, like let's call it like we see it. I'm going to call it like I see it. Arash Madani talking about the CFL to me is a red herring. There's no need to pay attention to anything that guy has to say because he does not have a vested interest, and his company that he works for does not have a vested interest in the CFL. They are one of the main reasons why the CFL has trouble because, you know, listen, since we're calling things the way they are, here's the way they are. Rodgers has all these stations that they have, and the reason and excuse that they gave to have these stations was so that they could show more Canadian sports. All right?
Yeah.
And only people that show the CFL are TSN. Okay? So TSN gets the brownie points for covering, you know, the CFL. Sportsnet ended up with The Rock, and now TSN ended up with it. I think they had it for a while, and now TSN has The Rock as well. So, you know, I don't buy this stuff. I don't think outsiders have the right to make decisions and make comments that are negative towards somebody else. It's like me going to my neighbors and talking smack about them. You know, it's not right. You know, and don't buy everything he says. He can watch on TV. He can look at statistics until his eyes water. But the fact remains, the CFL's here. I'm enjoying the season, and I'm ignoring the noise like that, the negative, the naysayers, the negative people. And I understand from your perspective, you're sincerely concerned about the CFL. So I'm not taking what you're saying as in any way as an intention to to negatively assert yourself as far as the CFL is concerned. Yes, you can worry. You know, those could be concerning numbers, right? But let's keep watching the games. Let's keep watching all the CFL teams. Let's determine whether the league's worth being a participant with, right? Just like my buddy Robbie, how you doing? Robbie's with us now. Robbie J. Emery, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, bro. You?
Not bad. I take it you've been listening to a little bit of our conversation. Is there something you'd like to add, Robbie?
Well, the first one would be, because, see, I work at Canadian Tire Center. It was the thing you guys were people complaining, like, about the Argos and the Rogers Center. The Rogers Center and the Argos have nothing to do with each other, right? It's like me. I work at Canadian Tire Center. And say if I go to, say, a fan that comes up and has another team shirt instead of a Senator shirt, and they say, oh, your team sucks, you know? What's he going to do? Go to the Senators and say, hey, the guy up at the stands is making fun of my shirt, my jersey. He's not, you know, he's not going to go to the Sens and say, hey, you know?
Yeah, because it has nothing to do with the Sens.
It has nothing to do with the Sens at all. It's Aramark that is running the show in there for concessions and that, right?
And then when you talk about security, the security is operated by the people that own the Canadian Tire Center.
Yeah, and I think it's a Capital Security or something.
Capital Investment, Capital Security, whatever it is.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I was sitting there and I watched that that Ticat game today, and I'm very happy. Very happy. Very happy. It's really, there was no rushing for the Argos. There was none at all except for Norwood, who had 45 yards on 8 carries. You know, you had Gable, who had 17 carries for 118 yards.
Ouch.
And they were important yards.
Yeah, and like the receiving the longest, the most yards was Chad Owens, had seven touches for 68 yards. It's like, what the, you know? Hamilton had Tasker, seven catches for 113 yards. But their second player had five for 68. You know? But if you heard that right, Toronto's first receiver, Chad Owens, had seven for 68. Hamilton's second receiver had five for 68.
You know, to take your point further, yeah, absolutely. Burris is really, you know, he's really pinpointing his passes right now.
Yeah, he's
locked in. He's definitely locked in. Anybody who watched that game who can't understand when a quarterback's locked in, Burris is locked in. And let me remind you, folks, what is the biggest problem with Burris in the past?
Inconsistency.
Picks.
Yeah. Picks.
He didn't throw any today.
Nope.
I don't think he did.
Nope.
You know what? I don't think he did.
You know what? He didn't almost even throw any touchdowns.
No, he did. He threw
did
one.
He threw one.
But it wasn't his fault. It was on a tip pass. It wasn't like he didn't throw it straight to the
guy. Yeah, it was the one that they were going to try and get called off.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly.
And he didn't throw any touchdown passes.
But he did throw for 350 yards.
Yep.
There you go.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was 27 for 36 for 350. And I noticed
And Robbie, hold on. But to be fair, let's point out Ricky Ray was 26 of 34 for 303 yards and two TDs with one pick. So, you know, let's just keep it in context.
No, Ricky Ray played very well. I was very impressed to see him come back and play as good as he did. Because nobody thought Ricky Ray would come back and play that good.
What?
He played very good.
You didn't think he was going to play that good?
No, I thought he was going to shit the bed.
What? Come on, man. God,
yeah,
I'm kidding me. Ricky Ray?
Seriously, I thought he would have been, horrible.
Wow. Okie dokie.
Oh,
well,
but,
you know,
Robbie,
what,
you know what the biggest thing is,
horrible.
Though? For the Ticats is 8-7, man. They're finally above 500.
Yeah, they're 2 points behind Toronto.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like, They should automatically
actually they're only a point. Actually, Rob, they're only a point and a half behind Toronto.
Wait, what?
No, they're Hamilton's at 16, Toronto's at 18.
But they're only a point and a half behind. Do the math.
Okay. 9-6, 8-7.
Yeah, but you forgot the invisible half a point they own.
Who, Toronto?
Hamilton.
Oh, the tiebreaker.
Oh,
yeah. That's worth half
man.
A point. That's
oh,
worth
no
half
way.
A point.
Okay.
Right?
Isn't that
worth half a point? Isn't that worth half a point or a point? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually worth a whole point because if technically, so they're all, okay, yeah, you're right. Because if they drew drawn to a tie, they will be in first. Oh, man. I don't want the East Final to be at Guelph, man. Seriously? Come on. No, I mean, like, I don't mind the Ticats being number one, but come on, guys. Seriously, let's just stop it already. That's Mark Cohen, if you're listening, you have to step in and do something because it's going to be so embarrassing.
Well, yeah, it's going to be embarrassing, and it's not going to help the league that much. But you know what? It'll be great for the Hamilton fans.
Yeah. It's about time, you know.
Well,
all these
you know,
years they were supposed to be good, and then they would let their fans down over and over again. And I'm happy for just the Ticats fans; their team might look like a legitimate Grey Cup contender.
Yeah.
First time probably since like '99.
Well, you know, there's nobody that can't, not a single Hamilton Tiger Cat fan that shouldn't be on their knees kissing Kent Austin's feet. That guy's done an incredible job. He's really turned this team around game after game after game. You know, it's been something you could see after each game. His team has improved. They've steadily improved game after game after game. And they're full value for, you know, where they sit, you know, at 8-7. And like I said, a point and a half behind the Argos. Because a tie is possible, guys. That's why I say a point and a half.
Right. But the only thing is the Argos are going to have to lose to Winnipeg, which I don't see that happening.
Yo, dude, come on, Mike. what happened today? Didn't Winnipeg beat Montreal? Oh, yeah.
No, but I was telling Frank that Winnipeg's had Montreal's number for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean,
I was shocked to hell when that happened. I was like, I'm like, Winnipeg.
I wasn't.
Pulling one out. I'm like, that's getting my favor for Hamilton because, you know, if Montreal would have won, they would have went up to like 14, right?
Right.
And it was just like they would have just been 2 points behind Hamilton.
Right.
And I was like,
So now Hamilton's basically guaranteed a home playoff game, right? So Hamilton.
Pretty much.
They're going to be the number two.
Yeah.
Well, actually, hold on. No, because they're up two games. Oh, they play Montreal back-to-back. So if Montreal were to win both games.
They play Montreal in Montreal, then they play Montreal in Guelph, then they play out in Winnipeg.
Right, so Montreal can still catch them.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because there's three games left, which is 6 points.
Right, yeah.
It's just getting harder for Montreal to finish first, that's all.
Yeah, I think
they can't, right? They're disqualified, aren't they, from number one?
Well, there's three games left, and I think the Argos have the tiebreaker. And Toronto's already got 18 points.
And I think Toronto has the tiebreaker.
Toronto already has first place locked up.
No, they don't. The first place, did you say?
Yeah.
No, Toronto has a playoff spot clinched.
Yeah.
Because Montreal can't catch them.
No.
But they could finish second. And
Exactly.
All right, so they don't have first locked. They don't have first locked yet. That could very well happen very soon.
Yeah.
With
it
you know.
Happen. Yeah. Next
could happen
week.
Next week. You know. So you know. Bottom line is the Argos have to match whatever the Ticats do. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So, Robbie, if the Ticats and the Argos meet in the East Final, you plan on making the trip, or what's going on?
I'm going to have to check that out, because see if I can get enough money to make my way out there, you know? Because, you know, when you go watch one of those games, you got to have a few beers, right?
Right.
So I got to pay for a bus ride there, bus ride back, maybe a hotel room out there, and... You know, so it's going to be lots of money to be thrown away, you know?
And not to mention, and I just wanted to point this out, because I told Frank I just got back from Winnipeg, but man.
Okay.
I feel really bad about, you guys got a tough situation out there, dude. What's up with the taxes, man? What's going on? It's like everything is, like, super expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, it's funny because, I work for the Airmark at the Canadian Tire Center. Guy comes to my stand, he's like, yeah, can I get 2 24-ounce Coors Light? I'm like, yeah, $23. His eyes lit up, he's like, what?
What?
I'm like, yeah, he's like, 23. I'm like, $11.50 a beer, my friend. He's like, wow.
That's no tip.
Yeah. So the guy just gives me 25, he's like, keep the change. I'm like, thank you. You know?
I was at the border crossing, like, you know, like, all the people from Winnipeg, for this Thanksgiving holiday, they all went south into North Dakota to Fargo and to Grand Forks to do their shopping, and then they all went back.
Yeah.
So I was just like, the guy was like,
yeah. And filled their car with gas.
Exactly. So they're like, they drove 2 hours for most people just to get the groceries.
Yeah.
And then still have to pay the, you know, that extra fee, that fee when you get back to the border. And it was still worth it versus paying for it at home. And I'm just like, that's crazy, man. That's unbelievable.
It's reality, though.
Yeah, man. I was amazed because I was like, I went to the store and I'm just looking at all the prices and I'm just like, because I know the Canadian dollar is almost equal to the U.S. dollar. And I was like, they're almost identical. And I couldn't believe how much everything cost. And I talked to my friend there and he was just like, yeah, that's how our taxes are really high. I was like, no kidding. Whoa. Man, I'm sorry, guys. That's
so. Getting back to Canadian football. So Calgary rode roughshod over BC, 40-26. Mike, what did you think of that?
If I could just add, did you guys know a jersey, like an authentic jersey, costs $200 Canadian dollars? On the
225.
That's insane, man. It's like, what?
I just priced a Pottinger shirt.
Wow.
That would be with the name in the back.
Yeah.
The standard football jersey, two numbers, one in the front, one in the back, and two more on the shoulders.
Oh my gosh, dude.
No, it's 220. It's like 100.
You know, I was wondering because I see so many CFL fans at games wearing the jersey. Yeah. Like, I see so many fans wearing jerseys that don't have any numbers or names on it. You notice that? And I didn't get why. I was like, why would someone wear a jersey with no name or no number? And they were just because it costs so much for an authentic one. And I'm just like, dang, man.
Yeah.
What? That's, how much do tickets cost?
Today, the tickets to the game in Guelph was $80. The ticket was $81.50.
$81.50. What? To sit in a bleacher? That had to suck, man. Oh my God, Frank. Dude,
hey, but
I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
I got to go meet the play by play guy, Chris Cuthbert, and oh geez, now
Chris
his name.
Cuthbert, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
I got them to sign my horn today.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, well, like it's like high school football, right? There's no security, you know.
Yeah,
to get to the press box, or sorry, the play-by-play booth, they have to walk through the stands.
Yeah.
Right.
How were they? Were they good guys, or did they?
Oh yeah. I didn't. No. I just said hello, they asked me. You know, Chris asked me if I was at the Grey Cup. I said yeah, and I said, you know, congratulations and thanks for all the great calls. Would you mind signing my horn here? So they did.
Cool. Yeah, Chris is like the best play-by-play guy. This is including all the American play-by-play guys. He's the best in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, he got lucky. He was a sideline guy.
Whoa.
And he was a sideline guy. And one day, was it a game in Boston? There was a blackout during the Hockey Night Canada broadcast.
Okay.
There was a blackout at an arena, so they couldn't do the game anymore. The game stopped in the middle. And he was just doing reports on New Jersey. He reminded me today. It was New Jersey. I don't remember who was playing.
Okay.
And he was doing reports from New Jersey, you know, in the middle of the game, right? You know, mm-hmm. this happened just now. New Jersey scored, you know, that type of stuff, right? A couple of hits, right? He'd do a couple of hits. That's what they call it in the business. You do a couple of hits, during the game. And then they had no game because of a blackout. So he sat in the stands and did the play-by-play of a hockey game. He did so by himself.
Wow.
And he ended up getting the job. They said, "Oh, this guy's not bad." So then, and the rest is, as they say, is history.
Yep.
Yeah.
You could probably Google that story and get the more accurate rendition of what I just said. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great broadcaster. He's a fine guy.
Isn't he from TSN?
Yes.
Yeah, he used to be CBC.
He used to be at the CBC, and in fact, he did the CFL games when they were at the CBC. And one of the reasons why Cuthbert came from, if I remember, the press clippings or interviews or whatever, he kind of followed the CFL to TSN.
Okay.
You know, he likes the game, he loves the game, but he's a great hockey announcer, too. And he does their hockey as well, Wednesday night or whatever.
The three best announcers, I think, they have in the CFL is Jock Climie, Matt Dunnigan, and Chris Schultz.
Oh, you mean the experts?
Yeah.
The commentators.
Commentators.
So, Robbie, what do you think about Rod Black?
What's that?
A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people don't like him.
Yeah.
I don't.
What's up with that? Why don't people like Rod Black?
He's not my cup of tea, I tell you that much.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know.
I
like Dwayne Ford and Glenn Suter. I even like the Gord Miller guy, the other guy.
Glenn Suter's the guy that gave me his autograph.
Right, yeah.
I have a friend that lives out in Saskatchewan. She sent me down like a bobblehead of Glenn Suter. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, ah. So I have that. I'm like, yes, Glenn Suter rocks.
I'll trade you for it. I'll give you a Matt Damon. Not Matt Damon. Damon Allen.
Damon Allen.
For your Glenn one.
Okay.
All right, you got it. Because I got three Damon Allens.
Oh, do you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't do that, brother. Come on now. That's my friend gave me that.
Oh,
I can't tell her, hey, I traded your Glenn Suter bobblehead for a Damon Allen bobblehead. You know? Then she'd
well,
be
I'll
all
tell
mad
you,
at
I'll
me.
Tell you, I'll tell you what. I'll give you two Damon Allens so you can give her one, and you can have one, and I'll take the Glenn Suter.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, are you guys excited for the playoffs coming up soon here?
Oh, absolutely.
No, of course.
And why wouldn't we be?
All right, so...
You know what I don't like?
Yeah.
On Facebook, I got friends, even women, making fun of me because the Argos lost.
Right.
They're sending me messages saying, I told you so.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys,
being
a Ryder fan, and I want to get your guys' opinion on the West. If the playoffs were to be starting now with the standings the way they are, Calgary first, Saskatchewan second, BC third, how do you guys see the West playing out?
I think, like the way you're saying Calgary, Saskatchewan, BC,
mm-hmm.
you would see Saskatchewan and BC playing to see who plays Calgary.
Yeah,
I think Saskatchewan would beat BC.
Okay.
They go play in Calgary or whatever, and Saskatchewan would beat them.
Yes. All right,
you know,
Frank.
Damien Durant is like a beast.
Yeah.
You know, they got a great receiving core. They just have a super team.
Nice.
Yeah.
Frank,
okay.
What do you think?
I find it very hard to disagree with what Robbie said, but I'm not really that sure that Saskatchewan can beat Calgary. I'd have to pick Calgary, only because.
Ooh.
And here's the one that's gonna kick ass. I'll start with this one. Doesn't matter who Montreal plays, whether it's Hamilton or Toronto, they beat
yeah.
them.
What? Do you think Montreal can go on the road and beat Toronto in the East Final?
Or Hamilton?
No.
No way. I don't think they're going to beat Hamilton. Toronto, maybe, just because the Argos
be harder,
seem to be terrible at home.
It's harder for me to say that with them losing to Winnipeg today. It's going to be harder for me to say that.
Oh, because you're banking on Cavillo playing really well when he gets
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's...
What I'm banking on as well, and this is because... Not many people listen to this show, so it won't change anybody's way of thinking. But I happen to think, just as much as I've said that Hamilton's going to approve, they're going to learn a very tough lesson. They're not going to go out in a very happy way.
Oh, wow.
They're going to go out having believed they had a right to win.
Oh, no. So you don't tell me we're going to get another Hamilton one and done in the postseason. Oh, that would just kill the Ticat fans if that happened again.
Well, I happen to believe that could very well be the case.
Oh,
the more confident Hamilton gets, as the old saying goes, the bigger they are.
Yeah.
The harder they fall.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost good news for Argos and Argo fans that they're not going into the playoffs cocky. They won't be going into the playoffs cocky. They're going to be going into the playoffs with something to prove.
Yeah. Yep.
And I put a lot of money in that when it comes to, not money, because I don't gamble, but I put a lot of stock in that.
Yeah.
In how you go into the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, but then again.
Go ahead.
No, but then again, you know, it's just a feeling on my part. I just happen to think in the CFL, you're only as good as today.
Yeah.
There ain't no yesterday. There ain't no tomorrow. It's all about today. And so where are you at that point today? Like, you know, that's why I say about Saskatchewan and Calgary,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a pick 'em. That's a flip of a coin for sure. I like both those teams.
Yeah. You also got to factor in there's going to be like 10,000 Ryder fans at that game.
No,
so
yeah.
that always sort of, I don't know, it's like an equalizer, but... I wanted to ask Robbie, being a Ticat fan, speaking of Ticat playoff losses, which playoff loss was worse in your opinion? Was it 2008 when the BC Lions came into Hamilton with Casey Printers and won, or in 2010 when the Argos went into Iverwin and won?
I think...
Because I remember Casey Printers, he had that... Didn't the Ticats sign him to like a $400,000 contract? And
I
next
think so,
year,
yeah.
Yeah. And then he comes back with BC, and he had like a 300-yard, you know, passing game and just went off.
Yep.
Off the charts.
Frank, were you at that playoff game in 2010?
No, I was not. No, I was not. But that game I remember a little bit, and what I will say is what I was just saying, the point I was trying to make earlier about Montreal. Casey Printers had a lot to prove. You know, he had a lot of doubters. You know, he was thrown on the trash heap, and BC took him back in, and a lot of people were wondering, they're scratching their heads.
Yeah,
why they took him back. And the irony, you know, now that you mention that, they've done the same thing with another quarterback this year that was with them, left, and now is back again. BC, I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Buck Pierce.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, reclamation projects in the CFL are quite easy. You know, even all these great quarterbacks we're seeing, a guy like Burris, you know, he ran out of steam. You know,
yeah.
You know, and the guy that he's replaced ran out of steam in Hamilton, and he finds himself as a key component in Calgary.
Isn't that funny? That's kind of,
you know what I mean. The irony
funny, yeah.
in the CFL just keeps the irony in the CFL. It's such an interesting league because it really is a league that has hope for everybody. You know, like every team has hope. You know, the Ottawa fans are chomping at the bit to get into this league because they know how opportunistic, you know, you can be in the CFL, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's built for instant success as much as it is for instant failure.
True.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes it such a great game, you know, and this is the point I was trying to make with you with Arash Madani. Okay. This is a guy who has nothing to gain with the CFL being popular. Am I attacking his credibility? No. But what I am attacking is probably a guy who doesn't sit there and actually watch the games. Did he talk in the interview about specific players? Did he talk about the game? Did he talk about how the Argonauts looked good and now they don't look so good? Did he talk about the incredible story of young quarterbacks in the CFL? I venture to guess that he said nothing about those things.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to his defense, and because I listen to the Sports Cage a lot, he's on there like every week, and he does usually go and, you know, break down a lot of stuff about the CFL and in a positive way. You know, this is the first time, honestly, yeah, in the last year that I've been listening to the show, this is the first time I've ever heard him say anything negative about the league.
Okay, well then I take back my assumptions. You know, to the extent that maybe he knows more about the league than I'm suggesting. But
he said himself that he loves the league. Like, you know, even in the thing, he was just like, even when he was talking about the issues, he was saying, you know, he said as a person that actually loves the league, you know, it said that he concerned him. So he wasn't coming at it like, you know, trying to tear it down.
Okay, well. All I'm trying to say is that who the hell cares? I really don't care about. All I care about is the team playing this year? Are they selling tickets? Do they have a TV schedule? Let's get at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I care about. This is a league that almost disappeared completely at a time. So to discuss the possibility of them disappearing, big deal. Been there, done that, don't care.
Yeah.
You know, all I care about is who's playing, what days, is it on TV if I can't go?
Yeah.
That's all I care about. You know, the rest of the stuff, I'll let other people worry about that.
And when you think about it, like, didn't the CFL used to not even, like, didn't all the games not even be on TV back in, like, 2007?
Yeah, but, you know, that could be part of the reason as well why the numbers, you know, will fluctuate, right? You know, there's yin and yang, right? The numbers on TV rise, the numbers in the stadium drop. The numbers in the stadium rise. The numbers on TV drop. You know, it's all about what mood you're in. You know, as a group, as CFL fans. Myself, I didn't spend much time going to games. The last couple of years, I've spent a lot of time going to games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's ebb and flow, right? And all I care about is the product, okay? That's all I care about. I don't care about the politics. I'll talk about it. I'll give you my opinion. I'll listen to other people's opinion. But it doesn't change whether I'm going to the game or not, because as long as I come back home after going to a game or after I turn off the television or switch to something else because the game is over, if I'm satisfied with the product that I saw, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I don't give a rat's ass about they went up. Like, you know, even you know, I get your story as far as Mike is concerned, you know, as concerning the Argos and how little people are there, how it's like, you know, cavernous, and how it seems almost shameful that a big city like this can't fill that stadium. I totally agree with you, but I don't lose sleep over it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I enjoy the
right.
game, you know, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's what CFL fans are. CFL fans are people who are going, what do you mean? You're telling me you're concerned that this league might fold? Shit, we've been
yeah.
there and done that so many times. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, really, who cares? You know,
yeah.
and the guy handling the league right now, Mr. Cohen, is doing a marvelous job, and with his cohorts that he has, they're doing a great job of keeping this league afloat and also making money not only to play, but making money to put in their pockets. You know?
Yeah.
You know, as long as that keeps happening, the talent that comes up here will be good enough and entertaining enough to sustain the league. You know? So that's all. We're not going to compete with the NFL. We're not going to compete with the National Hockey League. You know?
Right.
That's the way it is. It is what it is, but it is, and I said this before, Mike, much more than since you've been on here, but before what I always used to say, and whenever anybody asks me why I like the CFL, and I'll do it one more time for you folks that haven't heard it in a while, Montreal, Toronto, Hamilton, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, BC, and Saskatchewan, and now Ottawa coming. That's why I love this league. There is no other league that guarantees a Canadian team is going to win the championship. There's no other league that puts Canadian fans of a sport together and creates the kind of party, no matter where it's held in Canada, like the Grey Cup.
True.
Big deal. You know, big deal.
Right.
Oh my God. You know, we've had teams fold. We've had teams come back. We've had teams that might as well have folded. They might as well come back. You know, it's just the way it is. It's not a multi-billion-dollar league. Never was, never will be.
Right.
Even the people who run the league are going to tell you that. You know, we're just trying to find our little niche, our spot. You know, our space in the sun. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and that's what we're looking for. You know, and that's what the players are looking for. They're looking for their opportunity to play the game they love. They grew up playing. They want to play. They want to play under the lights. They want to hear the fans cheer. If it's 20, 30, or 40, it doesn't matter. It's still under the lights, and they're playing the game they love to play. And they're earning more money than they would doing something else maybe that they could do.
Well, see, like, when I was out in Hamilton, we were, what, 3-15, I believe? But we still pulled in at least 20,000 to 25,000 fans to come to a game. And like, because I've been in the CFL, five years. And being out in Hamilton, seeing all these fans come to the game, when your team's shit in the bed, that shows a lot of support, fan support, right there, you know? That's the best I ever seen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like here in Ottawa, we had, I think, 18 to 20,000 per game. I think.
Okay.
I don't know, that was way back in the 90s, so I can't really remember that far back. But, you know, there wasn't really much fan support here in Ottawa. And that's why everyone's thinking, you know what, Ottawa's CFL team won't last.
So how do you think they're going to do when they come back?
Well, you know, like, you got a lot of people that are like, oh, Red Blacks, what kind of name is that, you know? Oh,
yeah.
Red Blacks, what the heck, you know? And you know, and then once the team comes back and they get the quarterbacks like Kolaris, Riley, you know, and all these star players and that, and they start, you know, even if the first season they go 2-16, they're going to be like, oh, what a shit team, man. I knew it was going to be a shit team, you know. But then after, you know, a couple of years goes by, they're going to be up making the playoffs and that, and then everyone's going to be jumping on the bandwagon saying, yay, Red Blacks, you know, and it's, that's what I think.
Well, that, you know, I maintain that they're going to be known as the Arby's.
Arby's.
Arby's hamburgers.
Yeah, they should have got Arby's to be a sponsor.
There you go.
You know, get,
hey, listen, you know that, you know,
get a free burger.
There's an old saying, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter. If the team is crap, it'll smell like crap. If it's a good team, it'll be a good team. Red Blacks, you know, it doesn't really matter. Because when you think about it, there's a lot of, you know, Toronto FC in soccer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what
does
cool
FC name.
Stand for?
Oh, football club.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
like, Toronto's got the best football names, or, like, I mean, team names across the board, except the Raptors, obviously. But,
yeah.
Like, Maple Leafs is a cool name. Blue Jays is a cool name. You know, Argos and the whole blue thing, that's pretty nice. I don't know why the Raptors didn't go with the blue, the double blue. They should have done that.
Well, they were originally owned by somebody not associated with any of the other leagues.
There's rumors now that they're going to change to the Huskies and switch to a blue.
Oh, no, they're going to switch colors. They're going to switch
the
colors. They're going to switch the colors. They're going to. I believe that's the rumor, and that when somebody said to me they're thinking of changing colors, that just means they're going to be double blue.
Yeah, they have to.
They'll end up being double blue or at least blue.
Yeah.
And what's the difference if a Raptor's blue or red?
Yeah.
True.
Well,
but
you know,
every city
has that kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
The color
where
scheme.
You know. Well, not just the color scheme. Look at New York. The New York Mets, New York Yankees, New York Giants. They love that New York symbol.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They both use different versions of that symbol.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes part of the flavor, you know, part of the history of the team.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, so it looks good for the CFL. The CFL, to me, even though the numbers might say this, I think the key thing to note for now, I think, is going to be how next year it plays out. That's going to be important, how next year plays out. Because, you know, Winnipeg's going to be where they belong.
Where they belong.
Ottawa's going to be where they belong.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I thought you were, never mind, Frank. I thought you were saying, like, they're going to be in the dumpster again. Like,
yeah,
No.
They belong in the basement, so that's where they're going to stay.
No. I'm talking about location.
Okay.
Location.
Okay.
You know, historically, Winnipeg has, even though they've spent, you know, really, when you think about it, in the last 20 or so years, they've spent more time in the East than they have in the West. Even though that's the case, they still have a deeper history in the West. And they are a Western. They consider themselves a Western city. If it was the U.S., they'd be a Midwestern.
City?
Huh?
Aren't they Western? Like, they're in the prairies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I'm just saying, in the U.S., they would be known as a Midwestern city.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're far more a spread out, right? So,
right.
And because, you know, the population on, you know, Ontario and East far outnumbers, you know, the rest heading the other direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're perfectly suited for the West, just like the Winnipeg Jets are.
Yeah.
And I think part of that excitement that you talked about with the stadium, I think with a little more less hurt and pain being dealt the Winnipeg fans. And the combination of the West coming to see them more often, you know, firing up those old rivalries, you know, I think, you know, things will be much better for Winnipeg next year. But unfortunately, just think about it for a second, though. If Edmonton's really that close to being a really good team, yeah. Winnipeg better be close, because we know that Saskatchewan, BC and Calgary aren't going to hit the, they're not going to get tanked in a matter of, well, like I said, I've got to live with what I said. It could all change, but those three teams look pretty secure for at least the next couple of years.
Yeah.
But you know what Winnipeg's solution to all their problems is, right?
I don't know.
What's that?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, do you really think that guy'd help that team?
Oh, my God. He would be like a breath of fresh air, dude. He would sell tickets, sell merchandise.
Yeah,
so they would still lose. They would still lose, but they would do it with a lot of people in the stands. Is that it?
Yeah.
No, they'd win. I mean, I think Tebow would be great. I don't know why people think he won't work in the CFL. I think the CFL's made for him.
Yeah, but, you bring a quarterback like him in,
yeah.
Who's he going to throw to, though? Like,
well, they got decent receivers, just their quarterbacks stink, and their offensive line's terrible. And Tebow's the perfect guy because he can take the hits. He can power through guys. I mean, honestly, guys, is Max Hall or Justin Goltz better than Tebow? Let me see. Think about it. Max Hall just came into the CFL this season, and he's their full-time starter.
Yeah.
So if a guy like that could come in and do what he's doing, I don't see why Tebow couldn't give him a shot at least. I mean, they got nothing to lose, right? I mean,
true.
Yeah. So before I forget, Rob, tell the folks at home who our guest is going to be on Wednesday.
Wednesday we're going to have Stephon Jones, who started with, I believe it was Edmonton in 85.
Whoa.
Then he went to Saskatchewan for, I think it was 87 to 89, and then he was here in Ottawa from 90 to 94.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was a good receiver.
And he'll be on the show on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh,
What's that, Mike?
I was saying, does he live in Ottawa?
Yeah, he lives here in Ottawa. I have the privilege of speaking with him like almost every day, and he owns his own alarm installation company. So if he ever needs a hand or whatever, he'll give me a call to go give him a hand and help him out and stuff like that, right? So yeah, he's doing good here in Ottawa.
That's cool, man. Looking forward to it. Awesome.
Yeah. He's a good guy. And
we owe it all to my buddy over there in Ottawa. RJE.
RJE. Little Pistol.
Little Pistol. Hey, Little Pistol, I got a story. I told you I was late, right, getting here. Well, I didn't tell you I was getting late.
Yeah, well,
because
I'm sitting here looking at the time, I'm like 12:44. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, this is supposed to be done at 11.
No,
at
12.
It's supposed to be done at 12, yeah.
Yeah, 10 to 12, but we didn't start the show till 11. And the reason we didn't start we left the – it is horrible, I'm surprised that many people are willing to go to the games. We spent about an hour to go about 8-10 kilometers, a couple of miles.
Oh, yeah.
To get to the 401, to get to the highway, Mike. And that's the way it is. Everybody, it's not made for a lot of traffic. And the local traffic, because of all the lights and because of the local traffic, they were holding up the people that were trying to get onto the 401. In other words, the Hamilton traffic going back home.
Yeah.
Right? And so what? Out of every like, say, 20 cars that were going on the road that were inching along, one of them would go on the highway. So we were kind of stuck in local traffic. And then we went right by, we went to one of those, my wife dropped me off at one of those places where, like I said, the bus driver drove right by it. We had to tell him that he drove by our spot. So we had to turn around and come back. So the thing got a little extended. The poor guy was frustrated, I know, from a drive that should have taken around 45 minutes. It took actually almost 2 hours.
Wow.
Whoa.
So,
man, wow.
So it was a little tough.
Were the other TICAF fans down there saying they had similar issues all
Oh
season?
Yeah, oh yeah, everybody.
Wow.
If that's the experience, I'm sharing that with you. I'm surprised that they actually fill that stadium, because those are pretty diehard fans. Because if that's what they deal with, that traffic, if that's what they're dealing with,
yeah,
I admire them going there. It's amazing how many different challenges the CFL fan has to go through.
That's so true. Wow. But it's all going to be worth it, though, next year once they open that brand new stadium.
Yeah, it really will. It really will be worth it. I'm happy for my TICAT fan friends, and there are a few, and they do love messaging me on Facebook to remind me that they predicted that Hamilton would win. I have yet to meet an Hamilton Tiger Cat fan who predicts his team's going to lose like I do.
I was thinking of you earlier, Mike, because I was at my brother's house for Thanksgiving dinner, and my nephew says, "Uncle Rob, do you want to bet on the game?" I'm like, "I'm not sure about that, bro," you know. And then I'm like, "Yeah," I'm like, "I have a funny feeling Toronto's going to blow them out." And my nephew's like, "Really?" He's like, "You're going against your Ticats?" I'm like, "I'm like, no. I'm like, no, cancel that bet. Hamilton's going to win." And then I was just like, poor Frank's probably getting really pissed right now because Toronto's losing.
Actually, I wasn't. You guys got to understand something. I can actually watch a game, and even if I'm pulling for a team, I still see it from down the middle perspective. I really enjoy watching a game for what it is, as opposed to what I want it to be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. You'll have to ask him.
What's
that? You guys weren't together?
No, because we were together, but he was a few seats away from where I was.
Oh, I mean, did you guys talk after the game?
When it comes to the experience with some fans, I'm not like most fans. I got to be honest with you. When it comes to getting upset about my team losing, if my team loses, it isn't really. I don't get any gratification out of being upset.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Just like the same way I don't get any gratification of lording on other fans that my team won.
Oh, so you're saying that John took it pretty hard.
No, he might have. He might have. I don't know. He might have.
Oh, man.
Like I said, I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I'm just going to say that I don't. Like, I just, I got on the bus later, like I said. John was already sitting with a bunch of people together, so I just ended up in the middle of the bus. And it's no big deal because I got my phone. You know, I can listen to some stuff that I want to listen to, and it's all good. But yeah, it was just.
Oh, what's up, man?
Don't let me con you.
John was what's going on, man? You're keeping your boy Frank sitting off on the side. What's going on? So let me get this straight, John. Basically. I don't know if I want to say cold shoulder, but I don't know, man. What's going on?
Nothing.
Oh, that sucks. That's why you didn't call in the show today, huh?
I don't know if that's the reason, to be honest with you.
Well, we see
here
how it
we go.
Is,
now
we
the Argo, now the Argo fans are piping up. What happened out there?
Seriously, what did happen? Man. So crazy. They win 4 in a row on the road. Everyone thinks, oh, this team's unbeatable. And then they go through the buzzsaw call Hamilton, and here they are. Wow.
Well, I really don't think these games, and I keep saying this, and it must sound like a broken record, because even if Toronto wins, I'd say the same thing. These games don't mean anything. They don't mean that much.
No.
They really don't. I mean, you know, last year, a team that went 9-9 won the, you know, there's a lot of teams that can claim that record this year or better.
Yeah.
So Frank, then are you worried at all? I mean, as far as, like, when I say that, like, if they were to meet in the playoffs, I'm guessing you're thinking it's a 50-50 between the Ticats and the Argos?
No, right now, the way things are, the way things stand right now, if this is the team, and if this is the team, where the team's going to be, you know, ability-wise, mentally, you know what I mean? Because my problem, I told you at the beginning what I feel the problem is that they lack, I think it's starting to look like they're lacking veteran leadership. Now, to suggest that they lack veteran players on the team may be a little too much to say, but I do believe that veteran leadership has to kick in, and I think it's been lacking in these couple of games with Hamilton, because they've been very intense games. I think you can understand that, right, guys? Very intense.
Right.
Hamilton and Toronto don't like each other, and I don't think any of us underestimate the intensity with which these two teams play each other.
Yeah,
and their
fans
hate
each other. Like, you can really see it. There's like legitimate hate between the teams. Like, it's pretty.
Well, it's like, why is it like that with Toronto and every other team? Like, even in the NHL, Ottawa and Toronto, nobody likes it. You know, well, they like it, but it's just like it's like Toronto and Ottawa in the NHL is a rivalry.
Robbie, it's real for as far as the Ticats and the Argos are concerned. Austin is a genius. He picked off a couple of ex-Argos. Nothing lights a fire under a player than being rejected by the team he's playing.
Yeah, Brandon Isaac, dude, he's been a beast the last two games, man. Oh, my God. I feel so bad for the Argos. I mean, what were they thinking letting a guy like that go, honestly?
Well, they may have had more faith in their ability to make... You know, to make, you know, the young players, you know, ready for this kind of intense battle, but they may have overestimated. I don't know. You know,
like,
remember now, I'm just a
pundit. Who's this replacement, Frank? Do you even know?
What's that?
Who's this replacement? Like, I don't even know who. Like, that's how insignificant it's been. Like, we don't even. Can any of you guys name who replaced Brandon Isaac?
Well. I don't have a depth chart on me, and
I'm
going to get one next time.
Like last year, Brandon Isaac stood out so much that you just noticed him just because he played so well and he always made plays. You know, and it's like the guy who replaced him apparently hasn't been doing enough to the point where none of us know off the top of our head who's even playing that spot.
Well, suffice it to say that motivation is a key component to winning.
True.
So, will the Argos find the motivation to be a winner?
No.
That's the question.
No, I don't think so.
I'm getting more. I don't know, Frank. I'm really thinking they might end up losing in the playoffs.
I just return my season tickets and say, what the heck, I'm not going to go? No.
I mean, it's going to be a great game. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be the best game of the year. You know, you look at the Ticats and it's like they just believe, you know? And it reminds me of the Argos last year. Once you get that belief and you believe in your team and you believe in your coach, that's a scary team to deal with.
And the reference always that every great team that ends up winning, they always end up looking back and saying it was destiny. Are they the team destined for success? That's the question. Is Montreal destined for success?
But think about how great it would be for the Ticats if they win the Grey Cup and they open the new stadium with a new Grey Cup banner and all. That would be awesome.
That would be
after
good.
After all these years, you know.
That would be good.
And if
and
fan
the memories
base deserve
the
Grey Cup,
game
the Ticat fans
and,
honestly deserve a Grey Cup.
And the memories of playing a playoff game in Guelph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost one of you anyway.
Yeah, I think it was Mike.
Yeah, Mike just dropped off the map.
Upset there.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back for more right after this.
One, two, three. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. One, two, three. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go, Frank. Go, Frank. Go, Frank. Go, Frank. There you go, Frank. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, do you want to live it up? The ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovic, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980, 416-929-1980, or toll-free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early, because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts. Hey, Art and Paul, where do the Argos want to be?
Homeward bound.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Art, Paul?
I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are keeping home, where my music's playing.
Home, where you collect the money for parking. Home, where you collect the money for tickets. Home, where you collect the money for concessions. All that's good for you if you have your own stadium. That's one of the things that the Argos have to work out, as much as all this talking about fans and fan support. And are they, you know, are they ready to take the next step? And that is move out of the Rogers Center and have their own stadium, and consistently draw somewhere between 29,000 and 33,000 or 34,000 people a game. That's going to be the test, the real test. And winning the Grey Cup didn't seem to help it happen here in Toronto. The dates that were picked were not conducive to big crowds. And it's time for the Argos to move. And, well, I guess Mike from Minnesota, Manassie, as he's really known, is gone. But we still have Robbie here. Robbie, we got about 10, 15 seconds. Let me know how to contact Stefan, and I look forward to interviewing him on Wednesday. Thank you. I appreciate
All
your
right.
help.
All right, buddy. You guys take care and have fun, eh?
Yeah, we will. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Candid Frank Live here on Blog Talk Radio. See you again on Wednesday, 10 to midnight, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Later.